Well, praise the Lord. It is really good to be here. I am so thankful God helps us. He is that faithful God. And praise the Lord, we're going to sing of His mercy forever and ever. Amen. His great mercy to us, His children. Oh, praise the Lord. I am so glad we could call upon the Lord. I guess you're just never going to think that a little cough drop that is going to cut your mouth. But anyway, that's what happened. And I realized when I got here, my tongue was bleeding. Only it really wasn't my tongue that was bleeding. It was the top of my mouth. And it was, of course, dripping down to my tongue. Okay, so thank God He helped us. And thank you, everybody who prayed. And thank you for the suggestions. I know tea bag, it helped some, and then the salt water seemed to really have an effect. So thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you, God. We know there is none like unto thee, Lord Jesus. We ask, O Lord, O God, that you'd have your way, Lord. You know what needs to be presented tonight. O God, I pray, O Lord, that this word would go forth. Oh, that the devil would not stop it in any way, Lord, but it would go forth, O Lord, with thy strength. O God, by thy might, O Lord Jesus, O Lord, by thy inspiration and by thy power. O God, for we could do nothing without thee, Lord Jesus. And it is you who gives us the strength that we need from day to day, O Lord. It is you who guides us from day to day. It's you who heals us, Lord, of all our diseases, Lord. And, O God, who takes our infirmities and makes us whole, Lord. O God, who knows how to do all things and how to help your people, Lord. And I just pray that you work in every heart. I pray that you'd use this message, oh God, the simplicity of the gospel, to get us home, Lord, to get us to that place where we need to be with you, Jesus. And I pray that you'd work here tonight in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh God, help those with needs, Lord. Oh God, you know how to still the storms in our lives. And God, I pray for Sister Shirley's daughter, Darlene, Lord, that you would touch her. Oh God, that you'd make her whole, Lord, that you would move, Lord, to remove that pain in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. I pray that you would touch her. And oh Lord, that you'd talk to her soul, Lord, and help her to see what you want her to see, Lord Jesus. Oh God, help her, oh God, to see how thy word comes forth, oh Lord, oh God, and how she can be delivered, Lord. I pray that you'd work in the name of Jesus. You'd yet let faith have its perfect work. Oh God, we need you here. And I pray, oh God, that every moment, oh Lord, would be given to thee, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, that you would have your way. Oh God, that Satan be rebuked in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh God, you give us authority to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And you said nothing shall by any means hurt us. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. Oh God, we know, oh God, your people, the violent take it by force, oh Lord, not by violent actions, but by faith in thee, believing, Lord, what thy word has said, and resting in it, and believing it, and standing on it, Lord, and going forth, oh God, to declare it. Oh Lord, we thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, have your way, Lord. Touch, oh Lord, every need, Lord. Oh God, move the mountains that need to go. Heal the sick, Lord Jesus. Encourage the discouraged ones, Lord Jesus. Oh God, save those that have not yet come to salvation. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So thank the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I have it in my heart here tonight to, I'm not sure, this may be a series. I'm not quite sure just how far I will get tonight or how this will go exactly. But I'm going to call this Getting Ready to Meet the King. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I do believe what our life is all about here on this earth. It's getting ready for that day when we see the Lord Jesus and we stand in his presence. And all these things, so many things, you know, may seem so big at some moments, but oh my, what really matters as we walk this life? It really matters that our hearts are right with God, and that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, and that our hearts are made right, and ultimately when we stand before him, we must be found acceptable in his sight. Praise the Lord. I know that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Just to read a few verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Praise the Lord. We may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, we all have that appointment. That moment when we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And oh my, it's going to be a counting day. And how we want to be found accepted in the sight of our God. Amen. Oh, that there would be no blemishes, no sin, nothing, oh my, to cause us, oh my, to fall at that moment. But oh how we want to be ready to meet the King. Amen. To be accepted of him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Of all the realities in God's word, one which we speak of quite often is the fact that we know that Jesus Christ is coming again. And I trust, I'm not quite sure just what I'll accomplish here tonight, but this will be a study here, and we're going to be talking, like I said, getting ready to meet the King, but we're going to have some points that we're going to deal with. And the first one is the fact, the understanding that Jesus is coming again. And then we're going to talk about the reality that we must enter in at the straight gate. And then thirdly, the understanding is that we must be born again. And having said that, the fourth thing that I hope to get to is that we must grow in our walk with the Lord toward perfection. Amen. And let's just see how the Lord will lead in this study. But first of all, let's talk about the details, the understanding, the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to Acts, the first chapter, and I think I go here all the time, it seems like. But let's just go to Acts, the first chapter, and I'm going to have us go to the 11th verse. It says in verse 11, which also said, and we're talking of those two men which stood by them in white apparel as Jesus had been received up into heaven. Praise the Lord. And as those that were with him were looking steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, it tells us in verse 10, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, obviously angels. And they said in verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord. And of course, you know, Jesus had talked about his kingdom, his coming, his return again and again. So many of his parables related in that direction. And we all know the discourse there that began with John, the 14th chapter, when Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you." And then he said in that third verse there in John, the 14th chapter, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He said it, and I believe it, and I know it's going to be a reality. And praise the Lord, with the looks of things that are happening in this world right now, it indeed could be any moment. Praise the Lord. Our Lord is coming back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's a lot to be said in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Of course, Jesus was talking about his coming. And here we have the description in Matthew, the 24th chapter. We just glance here for a moment. It tells us in verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." And oh my, we know if the sun is going to be darkened and the moon's not going to give her light and the stars are falling from heaven, we're at the end. Amen. And just, yes, as all this is happening, it tells us in verse 30, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Oh, yes, as he comes back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Oh, yes, there's going to be no denying at that moment that Jesus is indeed the Lord, God Almighty, the Savior, the Messiah. It's going to be so obvious. And as he is coming, it tells us in verse 31, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Amen. And Jesus went on to tell a parable. Verse 32, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." And we are seeing that right now. I believe we're in that time when, oh yes, that branch is tender and putting forth leaves, and that realization, oh, that in that sense that coming of the Lord is nigh. We're seeing that symbology. He's telling us here, you know when it's going to be summer by all the indicators. And likewise, there are indicators to tell us that our Lord and Savior is returning to this earth. Verse 34 tells us, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Amen. Oh, that moment that we've talked about for so long, that long-awaited moment, it's going to come. We don't know the day and the hour. No man knows it, it tells us very clearly in verse 36. Not even the angels in heaven know. Only God knows that appointed time when he is going to return to this earth to judge this world in righteousness. Amen. But as it tells us in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and I'm turning there right now. Oh my, we know that it's going to be so vital to be right in the sight of God. For as it tells us, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, there are a people that are looking for their Savior to return to this earth. It's to those that are looking for him that he shall appear the second time, it tells us, without sin unto salvation. Oh my, every eye is going to see him when he comes, but those that are right beside those that have their lamps trimmed and burning, oh praise the Lord, those that are without sin unto salvation, those are the ones that will be judged righteously. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, there are many places that verify the great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, it's all over in God's word. Praise the Lord. Talks about it in the book of Joel. Joel, the 3rd chapter, praise the Lord. It tells us, verse 13, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Verse 14 here in Joel, the 3rd chapter, tells us, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And here it tells us, like it does in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And all the marvel of it as this is happening, and I believe this is going to be one thing after the other, just quickly following, you know, spontaneously, just one thing after the other. Verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion. Oh, we sing about that place where our God is, that city, oh, where our Lord reigns. Praise the Lord, the Zion that is above, that is free, that is the mother of us all. Praise the Lord, yes. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of Israel, the strength of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Everything's going to be different. Oh, yes, that Jerusalem, which is above, that new Jerusalem, is going to come down from God. Praise the Lord. We know that even the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. And the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And the earth and all the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we've been told. Oh, many witnesses here in the scripture, and we know that it is forthcoming. It is soon coming. Praise the Lord. But in the midst of all these things, our God will come and not tarry. Praise the Lord. He will roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Oh, yes, the trump of God and oh, that shout. And here's our God. He's coming forth and there's going to be no denying at that moment. There he is. And praise God for the people that await his coming that will be gathered together unto him. All those that come from the heavens and all the reunion with the body again and all of that as the graves are opened. And praise the Lord, we which are alive and remain being caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Praise the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, it's going to be a new day. And as it tells us in verse 17 here in Joel 3, so shall you know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Oh, yes, no more sin. Oh, no more struggles. Oh, no more curse. It's all going to be over. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. The people of the Lord, we have overcome this world who are ready to meet the King. Oh, yes, caught up to be with him, to live with him, to reign with him. As kings and priests unto God forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's also go to Psalms chapter 75. Psalms chapter 75. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. I like this little chapter. Oh, praise God. But let's look at it here as I begin with verse 1. Psalm 75. It's a psalm or song of Asaph. And it says, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. And then it tells us in verse 2, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. Praise the Lord. And I just want to pause here just to go over this. Yes, he says here, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. Oh, what a moment that is. We know that when the harvest is complete, our Lord is going to come. And let's just look at a few verses to verify that statement. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Mark, the 4th chapter here. Oh, as the Lord spoke of receiving the congregation and then he would judge uprightly. Praise the Lord. Here in Mark, the 4th chapter, let's just look at one of Jesus' parables, starting with verse 26 here in Mark, the 4th chapter. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And verse 29 tells us, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And Jesus is using this comparison. Oh yes, as a farmer who puts seed into the ground and then watches and waits for it to spring up from the earth. And of course, you know all the details. You know, God knows all of it. And, you know, as we sow seed in the spiritual sense, we don't know what kind of ground it is going to fall on. We don't know who's going to receive it. Sometimes we find somebody who seems to receive it with joy. But, you know, after a while, the thorns come forth and smother that seed. Or maybe that plant that is beginning to grow doesn't have enough root. And after a while, when persecution comes or other trials and tests in this world, those roots don't go down deep enough. And all at once, that plant withers and it dies. But thank God for the good fruit. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how that seed that is sown and brings forth a plant, and the roots go down deep into the earth and are nourished, and it brings forth fruit. Scripture says some 30-fold and some 60-fold and some 100-fold. Oh, thank God for that. Yes, because although at times, you know, it seems like, you know, the plant gets smothered or it gets harmed, it quits growing, the roots don't go deep enough. And some of it, as we know, falls by the wayside. It doesn't even have a chance to grow at all. But despite the negatives, thank God for the ground. Oh, yes, that brings forth the seed that is nourished and is able to go deep into the earth, so the roots go down and anchor the plant securely. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, it grows and it bears forth fruit. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the good seed. But oh yes, Jesus is using this comparison here in Mark, the 4th chapter. And yes, he talks about in the natural sense, you know, the earth is going to bring forth fruit of itself. And first, you know, when it pops out of the earth, you know, you see the blade. And then, you know, an ear comes forth. And then after that, the full corn in the ear, in this analogy that he's using right here. And he's telling us that when that fruit comes forth and it's fully ripened and it's ready, then the farmer, it would be, immediately he puts in the sickle and gathers it because the harvest is come. Jesus is using this to talk about his harvest, his people. Oh yes, that moment when it is ripe. We read of it in the 5th chapter of the book of James. It tells us in James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8 tells us, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, at that moment, yes, when all the precious fruit of the earth, God's children, is all brought to the full, when all of it is gathered, all his people, and he is waiting. He's waiting. He hath long patience for it, it tells us, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, here we are at the end. And could it be that he's waiting for the latter rain? Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that precious fruit of the earth that is going to come forth, the harvest of our Lord Jesus. But in the meantime, we as human beings don't know the moment when it will be gathered. All we know that at that appointed time, it will be so. And so, thus, we must be patient. And we must establish our hearts, to be settled in our minds, to have it all clear in our minds, made up to serve the Lord. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh yes, they were saying that in the times of the early church. when the first ingathering came about. And here we are at the other end. Praise the Lord. One of these moments, he that will come shall come. Praise the Lord. And will not tarry. It's going to be over. Praise the Lord. And that ingathering will happen. Praise our God. So we know, and we could go to verse after verse in both the Old Testament and the New Testament to establish the fact that Jesus is coming again. But let's go on to the next point. The next point that I want to make is that we must have the understanding that in order to get into the kingdom of God, we must be willing to enter in at the straight gate. Amen. Let's just look at some of the words that Jesus said here. We can go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Praise the Lord. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." In other words, it's telling us right there in that verse, that 13th verse in Matthew 7, that many are not going to do anything too difficult. They're not going to do a whole lot of resisting. They're just going to follow the crowd, you could say, and go in at the wide gate and walk the broad way. That's the easier path. And it tells us, many there be which go in thereat. But sadly, that is the way that leadeth to destruction. Instead, there is the need, if our hearts desire, if our hearts long to be in the kingdom of God, then we must enter at the straight gate. And it tells us in verse 14 here in Matthew 7, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." It is not the popular route. Few there be that find it. Oh, so many people think that they're headed toward heaven. But if their life is not embedded in the Word of God, if they have not been born again, then I dare say that they are not walking the straight and narrow way. Let's go to the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. Here again, we talk about this same matter here. In Luke 13, verse 23, Jesus was asked a question, and I would say, you know, the one that asked it, you know, obviously had observed how it was all going there. You know, often there were crowds, multitudes that gathered around Jesus, and he would teach the people. And often they would listen. But after a while, some would fall away. In fact, often, almost all of them would fall away and not walk with him any longer. And with that observation, obviously, someone was asking here in the 23rd verse here in Luke 13. "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Oh, these are not easy words. Oh, the need to strive. Oh, to put forth a great effort forth to enter in at the straight gate. Because the fact is, Many, I say unto you, Jesus said, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And he explains in verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and is shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Oh, that moment when that door is shut. Right now we have an open door. Right now we have access to God. Right now we can find the Lord Jesus. But there is a day coming. Oh, a day coming when that door will be closed. And there will be no more access to the kingdom of heaven. It will all be over. It will be finished. God's people will have been gathered at that moment. And yet we have some. They're on the outside. The master of the house has risen up and he has shut to the door. It is closed, just like when that ark's door was closed. Those people that were on the outside could not get in. How they must have wanted to go into that ark when they saw the rains begin to come from the heavens, fall from the heavens. Oh my, how they must have wanted to gather in that ark at that point. Noah had preached and preached and preached and told them, and they had ignored, they had laughed, they had mocked, they had scorned, they had put it off. But that moment came, didn't it? That moment when that door was locked, it was shut, and there was no more entrance. You can imagine that the people tried to get in at that point. But there was no way, because when God shuts the door, it is shut, it is over. And here he is telling us, here it is. Comparison here in verse 25. Oh, people, yes, gathering around, knocking at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And you can imagine the desperateness of that. Oh, when there's a realization that door is shut. Oh, don't be one of those that is on the outside when that door of salvation is shut. Don't be one of them. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Now is the time that we can bow our knees to the Lord Jesus and submit our hearts and repent and turn to Him. Oh yes, oh what a moment. Because that door has been shut and that cry yet goes forth. Those that realize they are not on the inside. They are on the outside, knocking and crying. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. And then they say, verse 26, then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. In other words, we went to church. We sang in the choir. We did good things. We gave money to charities. We put money in the offering. Oh, we did all these things. And yes, we had, certain knowledge, We had a Bible, maybe opened it up a few times during the year, maybe. Whatever all. But oh my, it hasn't entered into the heart. The life hasn't been given over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, it hasn't been made right with the Lord. And regardless of the things that they did, supposing they were all right, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Saw you. We listened to you. We walked with you. We ate at the table with you even, Lord Jesus. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Verse 28 tells us, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Oh, we don't want to be the one that is thrust out. Oh, my. We don't want to be the one knocking at the door and beseeching the Lord at the last moment that we could come in. Oh, yes, he will have a people. He will have a harvest. Praise the Lord. He is gathering his harvest even now. It tells us in verse 29, and they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. The people of the Lord gathered from all parts of the world. People from all different tribes and nations and nationalities and backgrounds and tongues. Oh, praise the Lord. All gathered together as the elect of the Lord, as the children of his kingdom. Oh, I shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Verse 30 tells us, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Oh, how very important it is to enter in at that straight gate. Oh, what the Lord Jesus said he means. Oh, he doesn't mince words. He doesn't sort of suggest. No, he's very clear in what he expects and how wise it is of us to give heed while we can. Hosea chapter 8. I'm going to go there a little bit here. Hosea chapter 8, verse 1 tells us, set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Oh, the element of sin that separates people from God. Do we get it? Oh, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If there's sin in your life, oh my, you need to get rid of it. You need to give it over to the Lord Jesus and quit sinning. Amen. But people take it lightly. So many people don't acknowledge sin. So many people don't repent and give it over to the Lord and let him take their lives and make them a new creature in Christ. But oh, here's a problem. Oh, yes, the trumpet is declaring it. The Lord is going to come as an eagle to the house of the Lord, and there's going to be judgment because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. It tells us in verse 2, Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Others silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also, the workmen made it. Therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. All the things that people embrace, even in the name of God, the things that, oh, they have in their heart, that are idols in the sight of God. Oh, how we need to put the Lord first in our life and turn away from all the other things that would distract and hinder and take us away from the kingdom of God. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Totally bad seed. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them. And they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. altars shall be unto him to sin. And verse 12 tells us, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for the sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities. But I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Oh my, the Lord sees the heart. And he knows the intent of each and every individual. He knows what is deep down inside. He knows all the things that people have ignored and scorned. And oh yes, counted as a strange thing. Oh, again, we don't want to be like them. You know, those that thought they knew the Lord. They thought they were the children of the Lord. And they said, my God, we know thee. But they had cast off the thing that is good, and therefore that sin, all those abominations, all those idols were destroying them and would destroy them, and the enemy would pursue them. Oh, that's the way it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. John the Baptist, when he came to this earth, oh, he said to the people that came to him, oh, yes, he said in Luke, the third chapter, as, you know, the multitudes came forth to be baptized of him. Of course, there were the people that were genuine in their, you know, need of repentance and their realization, their willingness to repent and turn to the Lord. But among them were those that just came to see or just to pretend. It tells us in verse 7 here in Luke, the third chapter. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Oh, among the crowd, there were the religious people. Oh, there were the scribes and the Pharisees. And they came too. And perhaps they even wanted to be baptized. But oh my, it wasn't because their hearts were changed. It wasn't because they had repented. No, there was a pretense there. John the Baptist cried in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. It wasn't going to be to their benefit that they thought they had Abraham to their father. Oh my, no. God knows how to raise up children. In fact, he is raising up his children right now. And although, you know, the message of salvation was to the Jew first and also to the Greek, praise the Lord. Oh, he is gathering his people from all tribes and nations and tongues and people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, if we are Gentiles, we too can bow our knee to the Lord Jesus and repent and get right with God. Oh, praise the Lord. We too can enter in at the straight gate. Praise the Lord. But yes, it was warned, few there be that find it. Few there be, many will gather the other way and take the easy route. But thank God for those with all their heart who want to enter in to the kingdom of God and be a participant in his kingdom. Oh yes, that willingness to enter in at the straight gate. Amen. Amen. And then, oh yes, the next thing that we must do in order to be ready to meet the King, to get ready to meet the King, we must be born again. Amen. Let's go to the book of John right now. The very first chapter tells us, if we look at verse 10, he was in the world, And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Isn't that amazing? You know, the creator of the world, of the universe, was walking among them, and yet they did not discern who he was. And even more tells us in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh my, the people that should have known, you know, that thought they had Abraham to their father. Oh my. But it tells us he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But thank God for verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Praise the Lord. He's talking about a second birth. He's talking about being born again. Praise the Lord. And this is not being born of the flesh. No, it's being born of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And thank God for those that received him. Oh, thank the Lord we can still receive him at this late hour. Praise the Lord. And it says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, he told his people before he ascended, those that were with him there before he went back into heaven, Jesus told them, for ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you, come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, he's talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptized you with water unto repentance, but there's one that's coming. He's mightier than I am. Oh, shoe latchet, I'm not worthy to unloose. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise the Lord. Oh yes. Those that would receive him, those that would be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Of course, we know in the third chapter of the book of John, there was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he tells us in John, the third chapter, the second verse, that he came to Jesus by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Oh, he could see that. And here he was. He came by night. You know, obviously he didn't want everybody to see him coming to Jesus. But he had something in his heart. Yes, and he wanted, you know, to know things. And oh my, the Lord began to tell him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, verse 4, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, Jesus explained it in verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. See, it gets a little clearer and clearer. First he's telling him, ye must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Then, oh my, it gets a little clearer. The born again is of the water and of the Spirit. And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And yes, it's explained again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's a difference. Oh, you're not born of the Spirit until you have been born again. And he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Then he talks about the wind. Verse 8 tells us, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, the Spirit of the living God came forth. Oh, there was that sound that came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And then it appeared unto them, cloven tongues, split tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All the evidence, the work of the Spirit. Oh, as the tongues came forth to be manifested, as they all began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord in his wonderful plan. Oh, yes, he had declared, yes, in that third chapter of John, that eighth verse, you know, the wind, it blows, you know, where it listeth. You know where it chooses, in other words. And, you know, you hear the sound of the wind. But you can't tell from where it comes or where it's going. We can see the effects of the wind, but we don't literally see the wind. But he said, so it is, everyone that is born of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the Spirit of the living God comes to dwell in our hearts. And praise the Lord. Oh, there is an evidence of it as he comes into our life. As we begin to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit of the Lord Jesus comes to dwell in our very being. And then, oh, yes, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, oh, the fruit that begins to come forth, the evidence that we are born of God, that we are born of the Spirit, that we have been born again. Amen. Jesus talked of this before he ascended into heaven. If we just turn here for a moment to the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, the very end portion of this chapter, a very end portion of the book of Luke, it tells us, in verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And praise the Lord, I noted verse 45 when I was studying earlier today. It says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, praise the Lord. He taught so much to those that followed him. He, you know, shed forth so much. But so often the understanding wasn't there. But here he begins to tell them clearly and give them the means to understand. It says in verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And here he's going to bring it forth very clearly. This is how we are born again. Praise the Lord. This is how we give our lives to the Lord. This is how we enter in at the straight gate. Yes, he's telling them, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And then verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Oh, praise the Lord. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. But praise the Lord. Yes, before he ascended, he told them, this is what must be preached. Repentance and remission of sins in his name among all nations. And then the promise of the Father. Praise the Lord. Oh, they were told to tarry, to wait, in other words, in the city of Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. They were not yet converted. They were not yet filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had not yet fallen. But oh, yes, he's telling them, you go, you tarry in Jerusalem until it happens, until you be endued with power from on high. That word endued means to be put on as a garment. Oh, praise the Lord. I think that is so beautiful. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God that comes, oh, yes, upon the people of the Lord. Oh, yes, as a garment to be clothed upon. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's a beautiful thought, isn't it? But, oh, yes, there it was. That need to teach repentance and the remission of sins that would be preached in his name among all nations. And what is that, a remission of sins? That is the baptism in water. Oh, that is, you know, being born of the water. Praise the Lord. That part of, you know, being born again there as explained to Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night in John 3. Oh, because when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, what did he tell the people? Oh, Peter had the keys, didn't he? And there it was, as he had preached that first message there, after the Holy Ghost had fallen on them, after they had been endued with that power from on high. See, that is the sequence, oh my, to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. He breathed upon them and told them in the 20th chapter of the book of John, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. But then, on that day of Pentecost, after they had tarried, after they had waited, when the fullness of that time had come, that appointed time, Jesus Christ came to them as the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God. Oh, yes, the word ghost is the spirit of a departed one. And it denotes the spirit that was in Jesus Christ that comes back to dwell in his people. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we can be born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. In order to be born again. Praise the Lord. That wonderful second birth that he bestows upon his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Born of the water and of the Spirit. And Peter, as he preached to them on the day of Pentecost, and when they asked him, what shall we do? What did Peter tell them? He declared the need to repent and to be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I love how he began, how he continued to say in verse 39 of Acts 2, for this promise, the promise, is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, he's still calling. That door is still opened right now. But how needful it is for us to enter while we can. Oh, yes. that great need to be born again. If we're getting ready to meet the King, we have to get our lives in order. We have to do the things that He has required that we do. And I thank God. We know that He is coming soon. He is going to return. He is going to come and not tarry. There is that appointed moment when He shall break through all the skies. And as it tells us in Revelation, that first chapter, verse 7, every eye is going to see Him. And they which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of Him. That great day of the Lord as He comes forth. To save His people. And as it tells us in Psalms, that 75th chapter, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. Praise the Lord. Yes, there's two things going on. When our Lord Jesus returns, it's a gathering of His people together. And it is also the judgment seat of Christ. How necessary it is for us to prepare our hearts to enter in at that straight gate. And that need to be born again, praise the Lord, to have our hearts prepared, our lamps trimmed and burning. And there are steps. Lord willing, we'll cover more of the bases. The Lord gives us another week, because if we're getting ready to meet the King, there is that need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as it tells us in 2 Peter, that third chapter, verse 18. There is such a need to go beyond. We come to the Lord as a newborn baby. But how important it is that from that point we grow in the Lord Jesus. If we're going to be ready to meet the King, yes, there needs to be growth. As it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Praise the Lord. That going on to maturity, to perfection. To be established in the kingdom of God, to be strengthened in the kingdom of God, and to be settled. Our minds fully on God's word and on His promises, on His ways, committed to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. That going on towards perfection. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't think I have much more time. But praise God. We are here on this earth at this moment. The great need in our lives is to do all that we can do to get ready to meet the King. For He surely will come one of these moments. And how we must be prepared, how our lamps must be trimmed and burning, how we must be like those wise virgins who had taken extra oil. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. And they had sensed their need. To have all that they could of the Spirit of God. So when that moment came, when the bridegroom called, they would be fully ready to go out and meet Him. Oh, yes, no delay, nothing to hinder, but fully ready to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. Are you ready tonight? Are you walking in the way? Oh, are you walking on towards perfection? And again, I've got a lot more to say about that subject, about walking towards perfection. But let's take it from here. Let's make sure that our hearts are right towards God, that we've entered in at the straight gate, and that we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, and that we are growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your goodness, your mercy, your compassion, your word that you've given us, Lord, these moments, this opportunity, oh Lord, to prepare our hearts to get ready to embrace thy word, oh God, to cry out to you. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you for these moments. I pray, oh God, that you talk to our hearts, that you tug at our hearts. Oh God, I pray that nothing would cause us, oh, to lose that which, oh Lord, you've given to us. No, Lord, to make our calling and election sure, I pray that you would, oh God, get us to that higher ground. Help us, Lord, to ever be mindful of thy word, of thy ways, of thy promises, and of thy coming. Oh God, that we would be like unto those that when you come, Lord, we would immediately be able to receive thee, Lord Jesus. Nothing, oh Lord, between us and you, Lord. I pray that you'd work in the name of Jesus. You'd talk to us, help us to be mindful of these things that are necessary. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise our God. Thank the Lord. The door is still opened. And we can make haste tonight to enter in. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. We are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnals tonight and turn to number 195. We're going to sing We Shall See the King, 195.
Praise the Lord.
There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. Blessed hour, we shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, and go away? Our home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready?
Bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.